All right, y'all. With all the sequels, prequels, spinoffs, reboots, and remakes coming out of Hollywood these days, it can be pretty hard to feel excited about new entries into old franchises. So you're not alone if you initially kind of shrugged in response to Prey. That's the new prequel in the Predator franchise. But according to the film's producer, 20th Century Studios, Prey had the biggest ever debut of any movie or TV show on Hulu. That's when it premiered earlier this month. And while exact metrics on streaming services are tough to pin down, it's clear that the buzz behind this new film is very positive. That's in large part because the creators behind Prey chose to center their film on characters who are part of the Comanche Nation as they fight off the Predator and a group of French settlers circa 1719. The movie stars Amber Midthunder, who is Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota as Naru, a young Comanche woman who wants to prove herself as a hunter.
This morning in the sky, I saw a sign. The Thunderbird. I've been practicing. It's time. I'm ready for my Katamia.
You really think you're ready? You want to hunt something that's hunting you.
The movie's director and co-writer, Dan Trachtenberg, is white. But he brought in co-producer Jane Myers, who is Blackfeet and Comanche, to oversee the film and make sure the production got its native representation right. Myers spoke with Native Voice One about her role on Prey.
We as Native people, and you know, when you watch shows that have Native content, very, you know, like hardly anything is right. Right? Like nothing's correct. You have people speaking different things or wearing different outfits or whatever. So being a traditional artist as well, and being able to create these items, it was real important for me to make sure that I just kind of, you know, put my little touch everywhere that I could, you know, all the way down to language.
If you follow my next guest on social media, then you already know he really enjoys Prey and appreciated the work that Jane Myers has done on the film.
My name is Joey Clift. I'm a comedian, staff writer, and consulting producer on Spirit Rangers on Netflix, and I'm an enrolled member of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe.
Joey told me how he felt going into his first viewing of Prey.
I was invited to the premiere in Los Angeles, and I rode with a few of my friends who are other Native folks working in the entertainment industry. And, you know, definitely the conversation in the car driving to the theater was like, oh, I hope it's good. Like, and, you know, we watched it and it was a blast. It was so fun. It was a great movie for about a million different reasons. I mean, I think that what went right for it as a movie is that it's just a great, well-directed story and entry in the Predator franchise. That's about, you know, the rite of passage of, you know, a Comanche woman who chooses as her rite of passage to fight and kill the freaking Predator. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of other stuff that really went right, too. This is a historic movie as far as Native representation goes. This is the first ever major motion picture in the history of Hollywood starring a Native woman, the amazing actor Amber Midthunder. This is also, I believe, the first major Hollywood motion picture to have an all-Native lead cast in it. Everybody was so great in this. And they also, behind the scenes, hired Jane Myers, who is an amazing film producer and also a member of the Comanche Nation, who Prey is kind of centered on the Comanche Nation in the 1700s. And they really empowered her to just make sure that all the Native representation was like amazing and spot on and, you know, just like a fun movie that I could enjoy as like a Native person in the entertainment industry who loves movies to just be able to watch a cool Native sci-fi action badass horror movie, you know?
So is this a model of like how to do better Hollywood?
Yeah, I think that the way that Prey and how its director Dan Trachtenberg engaged with the Comanche Nation and hired Jane Myers, who I mentioned is a producer who is Native, early on in the production to help shape the film is, for me, the bar that all future movies and TV shows need to hit. And that's like not a high bar. If you want to tell Native stories about Native characters, hire Native people in high-level decision-making positions behind the camera to help you tell that story. Prey did it, and it was a freaking dope movie, and it was even better for it. And really, like all other film and TV shows that want to tell Native stories can do this too. It's really not that hard. I believe in them.
Now, on the one hand, that's like a bar that feels like, okay, come on, get over this bar. But there's a little bit of a higher bar too. Viewers can watch a version of this entirely in Comanche on Hulu.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's another thing too, is this is for sure the first major motion picture to be released with a dub in the Comanche language.
I'm so for it.
And it's so cool. And like something that I wanted to flag just for listeners is that's not easy to do. Like the native languages are oftentimes not written down. They're oftentimes kept alive, orally. It's like a lot of oral tradition and oral storytelling. So producer Jane Myers had to reach out to elders in her tribe, the Comanche Nation, to, you know, ask for like how to pronounce certain words and like what the translations for different words are in Comanche. So, you know, she really put the work in to like make sure that the Comanche dub was like as accurate and dope as it could be. And, you know, it speaks to how excited the native cast and crew were in the project that like the entire cast returned to dub the film in Comanche. It's like it's Amberman Thunder, it's Dakota Beavers, it's all the main native cast rereading their lines in Comanche for this. And it's just cool that I get to watch a movie like that on Hulu, you know?
You know, on the one hand, I watched it on Hulu. I also at moments thought, kind of wish I was seeing this in the theater. Talk to me about that decision to get the direct-to-streaming release.
So I didn't personally work on the film, so I can't speak to necessarily the, you know, internal conversations that went into where the film was going to live. But just for me as a viewer of films, I'm so disappointed that this did not get a theatrical run. It's so amazing in theaters. Like the sound is clearly mixed for the theatrical experience. The cinematography is beautiful. Some of the shots in the movie could be paintings. And, you know, really just I think that for me, seeing this film, at the premiere in a theater full of just like native folks working in the entertainment industry, what a crowd pleaser of a movie. There's a scene, I guess spoilers, where the Amber Mid Thunder character just like obliterates a bunch of French trappers who are, you know, in the process of kind of trying to colonize her land. And what an applause break that got when Amber Mid Thunder was going toe to toe with the Predator. There were cheers and like, you know, so many like whoops and exciting shouts in this theater. It's just, I wish that this had a theatrical run because this was so fun to see in theaters. And I would see this 100 times with friends in, you know, a crowded environment.
All right, we have to take a quick break, get some Predator traps, save the world. You know, just give us a minute. All right. More with comedian Joey Clift in a moment. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Back with you on The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and I've been talking with comedian and writer Joey Clift about Prey. It's the latest entry in the Predator franchise, and it's been widely lauded for its on- and off-screen native representation. To say that Hollywood has long been guilty of mistreating and misrepresenting native people is, you know, an understatement. As one reminder of that history of wrongdoing this week, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences announced they will be officially apologizing to activist and actor Sasheen Littlefeather for the mistreatment she endured nearly 50 years ago when accepting an Oscar on behalf of Marlon Brando.
I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you in a very long speech, which I cannot share with you presently because of time, but I will be glad to share with the press afterwards that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award. And the reasons for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry. Excuse me. And on television, in movie reruns, and also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I spoke with Joey Clift about the long overdue apology.
I know that activist and actor Shasheen Littlefeather herself has said that she was surprised to discover this, but it's quite something coming in the context of Prey being something you could, you know, stream and watch at your house, and the Academy announcing that they're going to formally apologize to her. How significant does that feel to you?
For me, the Academy offering a formal apology to Shasheen Littlefeather for how they treated her after her speech at the 45th Academy Awards, you know, nearly 50 years ago. It's really difficult for me to put into words how just like truly meaningful that is. You know, it's probably not a shock to listeners that Native people have been, you know, treated like garbage in the entertainment industry for, you know, as long as Hollywood has been a thing. And, you know, I often think about Native Hollywood now. There's, you know, a few hundred of us. We're not a huge community, but we're like a small village who are all friends and supporting each other. And, you know, I think that that's really helped us deal with a lot of, you know, the, you know, just constant racial microaggressions we run into as Native people. I can't imagine the bravery that it took for Shasheen to give that speech, you know, at the state of the Native entertainment industry, you know, in the 70s, literally feet from John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, who were famous for killing Native people in their movies. It's just like the bravery that it took for her to give that speech. It's just like immeasurable. And, you know, she was like treated so poorly by the entertainment industry after that. She was blacklisted. It was really tough for her to find, you know, any sort of acting opportunities. You know, and literally after she gave the speech, like John Wayne had to be held back from like physically assaulting her, which is horrible. So like, you know, seeing her finally get like the credit for that bravery and the, you know, seeing her finally get the acknowledgement that, you know, the way that she was treated afterwards isn't okay is just like, it's just incredible. You know, it's something that I'm like a fairly new person in Hollywood. I've, you know, only been in the industry for about 12 years or so. But it's just like, I think to me, so cool to see not just Hollywood celebrating the current successes of Native stories, you know, films like Prey being, you know, the number one film / project in the history of Hulu, you know, shows like Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls, just like tearing it up and doing a really great job. You know, there are a lot of really great Native projects going on right now, and we're really seeing a movement in Native storytelling. But to see like an old Hollywood institution not just celebrate the current stuff, but like rectify the wrongs of the past through this apology, I don't know, it's really, it feels like real healing, you know. And, you know, like I very fortunately am one of the lucky people to get a ticket to this event, and I'm so excited to see, you know, not just the Academy issue their formal apology to her, but also, you know, it speaks to the growth that we've seen in Native storytelling, that her receiving this apology is going to be followed by her doing a Q&A with Bird Running Water, who's a member of the Academy, who's done a lot of work in boosting up Native voices through his work with the Sundance Indigenous Labs. So, like, to me, it really just feels like, you know, it's just a beautiful time to be Native. And I often think about, like I mentioned, I've been working in the entertainment industry for about, you know, 12 years or so. And, you know, I really feel like the gains that we've got are directly, you know, on the backs of, you know, our elders, you know, doing this work in less kind times to Native people. So it's like, I have just like such appreciation for Shasheen, for everything that she's done for, you know, Native activism. And, you know, it's just beautiful to see her get her due, you know?
So what's next? What are you excited about in the next chapter? If this is a kind of important moment, one that is doing at least some reparative work and a lot of exciting work in this moment, what's exciting next?
So I think that for me, a lot of people describe what we're going through in the, you know, historic amount of Native storytelling that we're seeing in the mainstream. I mean, Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls came out last year, and they were the first TV shows in the history of the United States to be created by Native people, you know, for major networks. And they're, you know, big successful hits. And, you know, now we're seeing more shows and films, things like Prey, you know, Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls both getting season two. But I don't want to define this as a moment, because Native people have been telling stories for, you know, as long as time has been a thing. And my hope is that seeing all of this stuff that we're seeing now, that people reframe it as a movement, and it's a movement that's just getting started. So, you know, for me, what I'm really excited about with what's next is for the movement to continue and to gain speed. I'm working on a show called Spirit Rangers on Netflix that comes out in a few months, and it's the first kid show in the history of U.S. animation created by a Native person, the genius Shumash TV writer Chris of Valencia, with an all-Native writer's room, Native characters played by Native actors. And, you know, there are probably a dozen other amazing Native projects that are, you know, announced that are going to be coming out in the next, you know, few months to year or two. And there are probably, you know, dozens more in development that haven't been announced yet. And, you know, I really just feel so lucky to be alive in this time where Native people are finally getting the opportunity to tell our stories in mainstream spaces. And people are listening and people are watching them. And we're proving that, like, Native stories are, like, valid and dope and should have been given a spotlight a long time ago.
Joey Clift is comedian, writer, and member of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe. Joey, thanks so much.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.